Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, our weekly look inside UVA athletics. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and we're coming to you from our air-conditioned studio in the University Hall. The college baseball season officially ended Tuesday night in Omaha, and joining me today to look back at 2017 and ahead to 2018 is UVA's longtime head coach, Brian O'Connor. Brian, welcome.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me. How about long time?
I think at some point you switched from veteran to long time.
I'd love it.
Well, 14 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's a long time.
I was going to say, so with our friend Brian Bolin off to the USTA, you've moved up another rung on the seniority ladder among UVA head coaches. 14 years. They pass in a hurry, don't they?
They do, but I'll tell you, Jeff, as you know, this has been 14 great years. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited and looking forward to year 15 and the excitement of that and the things that we have going on in our program for over this next year. And, you know, it's a great place here, and certainly, you know, with the national championship in baseball just ending and us having won that 2 years ago, knowing that at the University of Virginia we have a chance to win a national championship in baseball is really powerful and exciting, and this is a great place, and I'm proud of what we've done, and I'm looking forward to the future.
So on its sixth trip to Omaha in the past eight seasons, Florida finally broke through and won its first NCAA baseball title Tuesday night. Watching the College World Series this year reminded me just how hard it is to win it all in your sport, and it made me appreciate your 2015 championship even more. I mean, you think about Oregon State is kind of a consensus number one this year, right, going into the tournament, and they don't even get to the finals. It's a tough deal, right?
It is. You know, I believe it's the hardest championship to win, and that's no disrespect for any other sport, but you know, in the national championship in football, it's one game. You know, certainly it's what you do up until to get into that one game, but it's one game. And, you know, really when you think about it this way, Jeff, you go into an NCAA regional, you got to win three games. You go to the super regional, you got to win two. You got to win three games in your four-team pod in the College World Series, and then you've got to win two games in the championship series. So, you know, I mean, if you won straight out, you'd have to win 10 ball games to win it all. So it's tough, and there's a lot of teams. You know, look at Coastal Carolina last year, wins the national championship. And to think about that, you know, Florida just won their first national championship with the tradition of that program and the level of the high school baseball players in that state, it's just amazing. That puts it in perspective right there.
I mean, the other thing is not only do you have to win, I guess, 10 games in all, if you stumble some point along the way and fall into the loser's bracket, you know, before you get to the finals, then your task gets kind of exponentially harder.
Well,
as, you know, coming out of the loser's bracket.
Well, that's even more wins you got to have than 10, you know, if you fall in the loser's bracket, either in the regional or the first level of the College World Series. So it's tough. I mean, do you have to be talented and skilled, but you have to have some good fortune go your way. And any of these championships that are won in this sport, you go back and look at that four-week period of the NCAA tournament, and there's many cases where those coaches can look at that and say, hey, here's a call, umpire's call that went our way that made the difference in that game, and that allowed us to advance on.
I saw a release from ESPN today about the TV ratings and the streaming views for this College World Series, and I think they set a record. Do you feel like college baseball is in a pretty healthy place overall?
Yeah, I think it's in a great place, and I think it's continued to grow and continue to rise, Jeff, and certainly, television ratings and viewership and all those kind of things are important. The attendance at the College World Series, our venue there, you know, the attention on the postseason. But also, too, look at across the country and all the new stadiums that are being built and the stadiums additions that are happening at places. And certainly, we've got our own going on right now. And so that I think that speaks to the level and the interest of college baseball throughout this country.
Obviously, there's no guarantee that a team that hosts an NCAA regional will win it and advance to a super regional, but the odds are a lot better than if a team has to go on the road. If Virginia was the last team out this year when the 16 regional sites were selected, I think that means you were essentially the number 17 seed in the tournament, yet you were sent to Fort Worth to play the number 6 overall seed, TCU. Are you optimistic that at some point in the near future the NCAA will seed more than the top 8 teams in the tournament?
I am optimistic. I would venture to say that there's a pretty high percentage chance that that will actually get changed for next year's selection. I'm hopeful that we would move to starting out to at least first seeding the top 16.
16.
Right? And start there. I mean, I hope that we're in a place at some point that we could exceed the entire tournament. I mean, you look at the television viewership, you look at the attendance in Omaha, this championship is profiting the NCAA in well excess of $10 million. I would hope that we'd be able to seed the tournament in the right way, because what's sad about it, Jeff, is, and this isn't, you know, about our personal situation, I'm just talking about in general, is these young men have worked all year long, and then their fate is put in the hands of sometimes where they're seated and where they're sent in these tournaments. And, you know, so I think that it's incumbent upon our sport to put these young people and these teams in the best situation possible.
Seems like you could at least, I mean, seeding 16 or even 32 would be realistic, and that would be an improvement. And then if you have to fill out the brackets more geographically, then you do that.
I would agree. I mean, I think if we get to a point to seeding the top 32, and then, like you so well put, geographically we fill in from there, I think that'd be something everybody would be happy with.
This was your 14th team at UVA. It went 43-16, made its 14th consecutive appearance in the NCAA tournament. It faced some adversity along the way, too. Now that you've had a little time to reflect on the season, how do you think you'll remember this team?
Oh, that's a great question. Certainly, it's another, you know, special ball club. You know, we had a really, really special offensive team this year. You know, you see the years that a lot of guys had. You see the years that Adam Haseley and Pavin Smith had. And, you know, I'll remember it as a group that you know, certainly we had to piece some things together at times, but every team has to do that. And, you know, it was a team that certainly was very, very offensive driven and had a spectacular year. And we did what we needed to do from a pitching standpoint and move guys into different roles and, you know, really maximized what we were capable of doing. Certainly, you know, we would have liked to have extended on and went on to Omaha and things like that. But, you know, I also understand that how difficult it is to win in this sport. You know, certainly TCU cares a lot about their baseball mm-hmm. program. They put a lot into their program as well. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I felt like, even though I didn't feel like the last weekend, I felt like this team maximized what its capability was based on the total group.
Particularly with the pitching situation when you got to the regional. I
mean, yeah, you know.
You did not have your full complement of pitchers.
We didn't. You know, when Adam Haseley developed a little bit of an issue that he, you know, he wasn't going to pitch anymore, and that was kind of week to week on what we were going to do there, and never ended up pitching the last 4 weeks of the season. And then, you know, Noah Murdock, who was starting to really have a fantastic year for us when, you know, when he went down and you know, couldn't continue on, there were two of our three starters that were in there for us in the midseason that couldn't continue on with us. But, you know, Noah Murdock will be back. You know, it's unfortunate that he ended out, Jeff, at the end of the year having Tommy John surgery, and he will not be able to pitch for us next year. But we'll get him back, and we've been through that before, and that's something that's impacting all baseball at all levels.
Let's talk about the Major League Baseball draft, which was held earlier this month. Six Virginia players were selected, led, of course, by Pavin Smith and Adam Haseley, who were picked 7th and 8th overall, respectively. Tommy Doyle was drafted between the 2nd and 3rd rounds with a 70th overall pick. Ernie Clement was chosen in the 4th round. Alec Bettinger in the 10th. And Bennett Sousa, who will be coming back, went in the 34th round. Pavin and Adam were the first pair of position players from the same college to be selected in the top 10 since 1988. Each of them could have pursued a pro career coming out of high school, but they chose to attend UVA instead. Now they're first-round picks who aren't that far from earning their college degrees. That's not a bad endorsement for college baseball, is it?
It really isn't. I mean, it's a great endorsement for college baseball. You know, both of those young men would have had opportunities out of high school. And this is never, Jeff, a college versus pro ball thing or anything. It's, you know, all these kids make their own decisions. We've had many recruits before that have opted to go into professional baseball out of high school. But those two young men felt like this is the right opportunity for them. And look at it, they ended up selecting 7th and 8th, the club's first picks, which is always exciting. And, you know, they had fantastic careers here. Won a national championship. Right. You know, both of them were in the lineup, you know, as freshmen, and then they go on to be high draft picks and 1 year away from their college degree and everything that goes along with that. And both of them were great representatives of our program. So, you know, certainly it shows college baseball really, really well.
I know the game did not end the way we wanted, the final one against Dallas Baptist, but I thought it was cool that Adam, in their final at-bats as college players, Adam Haseley had an RBI double, and Pavin absolutely crushed a three-run home run. I mean, they went out personally on a pretty good note.
They did. That was great to see. You know, when you see potentially guys in their last collegiate at-bat, and, you know, sometimes those players recognize that. And I think it shows who they are, that they step up and say, listen, I'm not going to let it happen to me. I'm not going to be the guy that makes the out or makes the last out, you know. And so I think that speaks to who they are, and that was exciting to see.
How soon after they arrived here in the summer of 2014 did you realize you had something special in those two?
You know, it happened pretty quickly in the fall.
I mean, they were big recruits.
They were, yeah. So you had a pretty good idea. But, you know, until you get a chance to see them, you know, day after day against a higher level of pitching and the grind that these college players go through. And so, you know, it wasn't too long into the fall that, you know, you could see that both of them were athletically and baseball skilled enough that they were going to make significant impacts for us.
Let's look ahead to next year. In terms of your incoming recruiting class, you made it through the draft in good shape, didn't mm-hmm. you? Which isn't always the case.
Yeah, we did. All the players that we had scheduled to come here are all coming. A couple of them were drafted, but it looks like they're all going to come to school. So we're in a good place from that standpoint, and feel good. And, you know, all those players felt like this was the best option for them at this point in time. So certainly that's going to help our team.
How much do you think the experiences that guys like Pavin and Adam had, and Danny Hultson before, and Stephen Prochet, and all those guys, where you kind of have the best of both worlds? You have the college, and then you still get drafted, you know, high. How much do the high school players take note of that, do you think?
I'm sure
you bring it to their attention.
Well, I mean, it's right out in front of them. You know, they watch the draft. They can see, you know, so they see what happens to Haseley and a Smith. But certainly, I think it makes an impact. It shows to them that here these players can come to college, they can have all the great college experience, work towards their degree, and then go significantly higher in the Major League Baseball draft than they could have went in high school.
Your returning players are scattered all around the country right now. Most of them are playing ball. Jake McCarthy's with the U.S. Collegiate National Team. I know we've talked about it before, but what is the importance of summer baseball for these guys?
Well, I think it's really important. Some of them, Jeff, we hold back here, and they're rehabbing here, or they're strength and conditioning here, but that's very few of them. Most all of them we're sending out in the summer. And, you know, it gets them, if they're a pitcher that are still developing and they haven't had a chance to pitch much, it gets innings under their belt and gives them confidence. I think it's the confidence thing that comes from it for all of them is, you know, gets them in an environment that's different from here. You know, they're working on their craft, they're working on their skills. All these guys that, you know, they all want to play professional baseball. Well, you know, between our season and the summer ball, that's basically a professional baseball
right.
season. So it's been integral in all these guys' development over the years.
You return a strong core of position players: Jake McCarthy, Cam Simmons, Andy Weber, Caleb Knight, Justin Novak, Nate Eichhoff, Charlie Cody, to name a few. On the pitching front, Derek Casey, Daniel Lynch, Chesden Harrington, Bennett Sousa, Bobby Nicholson, Evan Sperling. You won't have Noah Murdock, you said, but you will have some options. With Derek Casey, what does his performance in the regional at Fort Worth do for him, do you think, going forward?
Well, I think a lot. I think it puts him in a great place this summer moving into the fall. He's very committed. He's working hard on his strength and conditioning and this summer, and he'll be getting after it this fall. And I believe he's got the ability to kind of anchor that pitching staff for us. And, he'll be, next year, he'll be a year more removed from the Tommy John surgery. So usually this next year is when you really see it all to come together for them and things. So I think he's in for a big year, and he's determined to do good things.
Evan Sperling will be a year removed too from Tommy John. He had a rough outing in Fort Worth, but I know you were high on him going into the year and during the year. How do you get a guy to kind of put something like that behind him and move forward?
Well, those things happen, and certainly he's still in a kind of a developmental phase. Really, Jeff, this last year was like his freshman year.
Yeah.
Even though it was his second year in the program, he couldn't pitch the year before. So, it's still a work in progress and a development in progress. When you have somebody like that that's tall and long arms and things like that, a lot of times it's tough for them to consistently put things together, and that only comes from experience. So, he's pitching for the Charlottesville Tom Sox this summer, and hopefully he can continue to gain confidence and gain consistency with his delivery, and then that'll impact his success rate.
You mentioned the improvements that are on tap at Davenport Field. Mm-hmm. Fundraising for those renovations is proceeding well. Work on the infrastructure has begun. What do you think the impact of that renovation will be, not only for your players and your coaches, but for the fan base?
Well, I think it'll have a huge impact on a lot of different areas. Right now we have recruits coming to campus, and when you're a recruit and you walk into that stadium and you can see all this infrastructure going in, that's exciting. It's exciting for the future. So it can impact recruiting. Certainly for the fans, it's a huge impact, Jeff. It's a commitment from our athletic department, our university, through gifts from supporters and donors of our program, to really make it the best environment possible for the fans to have a great experience, but also our players to have a great experience. So, there's going to be new improved seating in some areas and some more better seating options, some expanded chairback seating and things like that, that are going to, really make it a great experience. More restrooms, more concessions, right, and things that'll make the best possible experience for our fans.
You have a number of guys in the major leagues. The Houston Astros called up Derek Fisher this month, and he put together some impressive performances at the plate. Does your schedule permit you to follow your guys in the majors?
Well, it's tough. I try to catch a game on TV every so often when I can. Following it on social media, I think, is a lot of times the best thing is, Andy putting some stuff up there, and a lot of times that's where I'll get my information, because we're so involved in recruiting right now, and it's nonstop that you try to pick and choose your spots to be able to keep up with that. And but it's exciting. You see Mark Reynolds hit another home run, yesterday, and so it's fun to follow, and you're so proud of how those guys are doing at the highest level of baseball.
So for 14 years, you've had the distinction of being the only coach in this department from Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Huh.
And now there are two more, Steve Garland, two new wrestling assistants, Travis and Trent Paulson. So some point, maybe I'll get the three of you together. You can share some memories.
Yeah, we can
Council
have a
Bluffs.
We can have a Council Bluffs podcast. As things moved at the end of our season and being gone recruiting and things like that, I haven't had a chance to meet those guys yet. But certainly, I look forward to that and welcome them to UVA for great things.
And your dad knows about them, right?
Well, yeah, he's reminded me a number of times about, hey, there's those Paulson twins up there. You got to go meet those guys, those wrestling coaches. So, we'll get a chance to meet and welcome them to Charlottesville, and certainly provide those guys any support that they need.
Well, good. Well, Brian, as always, thanks for your time. Congrats on another great season, and have a good summer.
Thanks, Jeff.
July is probably the slowest month of the year for Virginia athletics, but we'll be cranking things back up before you know it. For schedules and information on baseball and all of UVA's other teams, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back soon with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.